Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Podtacular After Show for episode 220. This is a little excerpt that we had from a little bit after the show that we recorded for 220 with Keith from the Running Riot podcast on the show. And we talked about a Kotaku article that actually popped up during the show afterwards. And we had about an hour discussion on it, and this is the actual discussion that took place. And we thought that we'd get it out and let everyone listen to it and have their own opinions on it. So, just a fair warning, this has not been bleeped because this isn't part of the regular podcast, and there's quite a few expletives scattered throughout this little excerpt. So, if there's sensitive ears around or if you're at work, it might not be appropriate to play this at the moment. So, just a fair warning, thought I'd get that out there in advance, and enjoy.
What were you talking about? You crashing your parents' internet?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The outtake, Rel.
Okay, yes. So, I went home, and I bought my parents a 32-inch HD TV for Christmas. And it's on the other side of the house where our cable modem is for our internet. So I bought a 100-foot Cat 6 Ethernet cable, and I wired it around the floor, around the doors and everything, where it was up against the wall, taped down, all nice and neat.
Right.
Plugged it back into my Xbox, plug it into the back of the router, and the internet dies, along with TV and phone, because we have UVerse, so we have all three.
Okay.
And so I'm like, huh, okay. No internet, and I'm looking at my Xbox first, so I was like, okay, that doesn't work, I'll go back. So I pull the cord out of the port, but the light on the port stays on.
Okay.
So I plug it into another port, hoping it'd work. It didn't work, so I power cycled the thing. When it came back on, that one light on that one port was still on, with nothing plugged into it. The phones didn't work, the TV didn't work, and the internet didn't work.
It was a ghost.
And I finally got, I called AT&T support, and
I thought you were going to say you called Scooby and the gang.
And it managed to get the phone lines working.
Okay.
Wireless internet would work, but anything plugged into the wired ports in the back would not work. And the TVs worked for a little while, and then they crashed. And I actually managed to get to a Tier 2 technician on the other line who actually knew what he was talking about. And apparently, I had caused some kind of frequency feedback loop by plugging...
That caused you to go back in time and destroy the internet.
Yes, if I only wish. And apparently the Cat 6 runs on a different frequency because how the wires are twisted.
Right.
It's a little different for a Cat 6 and a Cat 5. And apparently that caused a feedback loop in the LAN ports of the wired ports of all the that was on the modem. So the TV didn't work and the wired internet didn't work. We had a technician come out the next morning. It was actually Sunday morning, and he came out and got fixed. And I had to go out and buy a 100-foot Cat 5e, and it worked. So I managed to crash my family's UVerse in 2 seconds by plugging in a Cat 6 Ethernet cable.
This sounds a lot like Half-Life's story, where you accidentally caused like a resonance cascade that opened up a portal. The Cat 6 cable, it resonates at a higher frequency than normal. It's going to open up the cascading portal into another universe.
Oh boy.
Now, guys, I'm a little distracted. There was an article that just came out.
Uh-huh.
Kotaku.
Yeah.
That disturbs me about Halo.
Halo creators have been hitting the Mountain Dew.
Yes.
Okay, I just read this.
Hang on. I'm opening up Kotaku.
This is I don't know. I mean, I think that people are very underestimating reach. Or at least it's going to be a big multiplayer hit regardless, but they think that for some reason they think that Halo's gotten diluted. I mean, obviously there's much more going on of what we just talked about, but they don't think it's going to be bigger than I think it's going to be bigger than Halo 3.
Oh, I definitely think so. I think it's going to equate to Halo 1.
It's going to be huge, I think.
I'm not arguing against the quality of this game. I think it's going to be a great game, but I'm not sure if it's going to have the same marketing budget that Halo 3 did. Halo 3 had a huge marketing budget, and I don't know if enough of the weed-smoking, I love FPS crowds that we were talking about earlier are going to know that Halo Reach even exists.
Oh no! They're gonna market the shit out of this. Are you kidding? I don't think they're gonna market it like Halo 3. Not as much as Halo 3.
I don't think it will. I don't know. I'm not a marketer, but it just doesn't seem like they're gonna market this as much as Halo 3.
Oh, I think they will. I think they'll do it, and even I don't know. I think along the same lines, they'll learn from some mistakes. Maybe they did. They overdid it. I thought they overdid it with Halo 3. I don't think they needed to do it that much, but they're gonna. I mean, at least they're going to try to. Are you kidding? Read.
I don't think.
Yeah, but
I don't like this.
I mean, it doesn't seem like, and I could be wrong. It doesn't seem like Microsoft is as behind Halo Reach as it was for Halo 3.
You know what? I remember Halo 3 that. The Microsoft's go behind or their marketing push and their engine didn't come till after the beta and after, like, it's just not here yet. You're not seeing it yet.
Maybe.
I think that it's going to be there. I think they're definitely going to be. This is.
Well, what?
They got to push. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The appeal for me for Halo Reach is the comparisons that they're taking it back to Halo 1.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to roots.
Yep.
And Marty kind of, well, it's the Halo game made by the people who made Halo. And from everything that they've been talking about, they redid the engine to support more AI. They're going back to more open levels, big levels with vast landscapes and vast scenery, going back to the Halo 1 style. If they do that, I think it's going to be a tremendous success.
Exactly.
And with the multiplayer trailer that we've seen, it's a win-win.
That's what I think. I don't think the
advertising. I mean, okay, yes, we haven't seen the beta yet, so Microsoft's probably being cautious about judging what the reaction is going to be, and then after they see the success of the beta, they're going to hop on it. But
right.
Yeah.
I honestly, because Halo 3 was part of the trilogy, it was the wrapping up story, where you're looking at Halo Reach, where it's a completely separate side story.
Without the Chief, too.
Yes, without the Chief. So I don't think there's going...
Well,
you're not,
I don't know.
I think you're not...
It's got to be done right, though. You can do it. It's just got to be done right.
But you're not advertising a known hero of the franchise.
True.
It's really hard to advertise for someone new that no one really doesn't have any clue about.
I can definitely understand that, but I also think that first of all, people who just are not really interested in the story, if you make the multiplayer awesome enough, which it already looks like it's going to be. Which attracting, like, if it's actually even stepping out of, like, into the Modern Warfare territory. You're making
about that for sure.
Yeah, you're making it the multiplayer that awesome. Which, you know, Bungie has been in the multiplayer arena is still the king. If they make it awesome and add some Modern Warfare to it, you're gonna just there's sales just in that alone. But plus, if they do something for the fans, Bungie does something for the fans and reverts back to the original Halo and a lot of stuff, then you got that. Then, which I think Microsoft will put their muscle behind this game. They're just going to. You can't. It's a Halo game. I mean, they did it for ODST, which wasn't even a full game, and they jacked up the price.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They're going to fucking get behind this. It's Halo. They'll be all over this. It's a complete, dedicated, a full Halo title. Like, even Halo Wars, they kind of got behind. They'll be all over this. I have no doubt in my mind that this game will be a full marketing push, will do more than Halo 3, because you got people into it from just Halo 3 alone. Remember, we were just talking about people who just bought Halo 3? I mean, they're going to be, if Halo 3 was that good of a multiplayer experience for these people, they're going to buy Halo Reach, which is going to be a better multiplayer experience. I think whoever wrote this article is not a Halo fan.
Probably not. Luke Plunkett or what?
Luke Plunkett?
I know. Yeah, it's Luke.
He's not a Halo fan.
Here's the only thing that makes me think that they're not going to give this game the marketing push that Halo 3 got. First of all, like Dustin said, it's unrecognizable characters for many people. And, I mean, secondly, just this is anecdotal evidence, but at last year's E3, they actually stopped Bungie from showing Halo ODST.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want it conflicting with Natal.
Well, they
were afraid that if they showed Halo ODST, it was
not ODST, Reach.
Was it Reach?
No, ODST they showed her. It was Reach. They stopped.
Was it?
No.
It was ODST.
It was ODST.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was ODST.
It was ODST.
I'm almost certain. Wait, I mean, it's yeah, that's something worth checking.
You're right. Hold on a second. You're right.
Because Reach was the...
Yeah, they announced it. You know what? They announced it later. You're right. It was ODST. It was Recon, yeah, Halo Recon, but then, they had to stop it. It was the superintendent thing. Yes, you're right.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Go ahead.
They didn't want Halo ODST conflicting with another franchise, and that makes me think that maybe Microsoft is beginning to think that Halo is, it's not an eternally profitable franchise. They're saying it's like a waning franchise. Like, it'll be big, but it's losing popularity slowly, and that they need to start working on establishing like IPs.
But it's like, all...
That's what I'm not saying what they're doing is right. I'm saying that they're trying to bank on new IPs. I'm saying that whether or not Natal's good or not is beside the point. They think it's going to be popular. I mean, and they're trying to bank on it. That's why they stopped, Bungie from presenting ODST at that E3, because they didn't want to steal the thunder. And I mean, if you think about it, Halo ODST sold for the same price that Halo 3 did. There is absolutely no reason that they shouldn't have marketed ODST as much as they marketed Halo 3. In fact, ODST was probably created on a lower budget. In fact, ODST, I know it was made on a lower budget.
Absolutely was. And ODST.
So,
was
I mean, all that money had to go somewhere, and it should have went into marketing.
ODST,
I mean, from a business standpoint.
From a marketing standpoint.
From ODST a business was standpoint.
This is clusterfuck. ODST. The marketing standpoint, they marketed that game wrong.
That's what I'm saying. They messed up the marketing on it, and that's what makes me think that Microsoft is beginning to think that Halo is not its... It can't be supported by Halo alone. So it's taking Halo down from its kind of high horse. It's not supporting it with the same fervor that it did back in the Halo 3 days, back when it, had the crazy awesome, E3 trailer, where Cortana's like, this is the way the world ends, and stuff like that. My favorite ad campaign of all time is the diorama commercials, where that old guy's walking through the museum.
Yeah, those are cool.
And you get this feeling that this is outside of the game universe, but it's like, the events of Halo 3 happened, and you basically already know going into Halo 3 that they're probably going to save the universe.
It pulls you into that universe. It makes you feel like you're a part of it.
It made me feel like it made me feel sad for the Chief to know that they basically marketed it as the Chief is going to die. All right, Chief is dead. He sacrifices himself for something in this game, and even though we know that's not what actually happens, that is kind of what happens, and that's how humanity knows what happens.
It's an emotional attachment and reach out to bring you into that universe.
That was a great campaign. Like when he starts talking about like what the battlefield was like what it was like to be a Marine, fighting next to the chief.
And with like incredible detail about it.
Yeah, and he's like, when the chief showed up, we rallied around and we fought back with fervor and people were dying around me, but we felt like we could defeat the enemy.
It sounded just like a
World War II documentary.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
That's like something you might hear from someone that was like the beaches of Normandy, storming Omaha Beach,
That's why a Halo movie would be so fantastic.
If it was done.
If 343 Industries, if you're listening to this, if you want a smart move that everyone's going to enjoy, fund the Halo 3 film. And don't let like Fox or Warner Brothers fund it on your own. Fund
Uwe Boll.
Yeah. Fund it on your own.
Love, I know
you guys have plenty of money coming out of your asses anyway.
They
incorporate Halo into Transformers.
Oh God.
But instead of Shia LaBeouf, put in Michael Cera.
But I mean, all the Halo 3 stuff that we got. All the dioramas, the call to arms or whatever that was called, those were Peter Jackson did those, right?
Which ones are we talking about? The ODST ones?
No. The
those were actually pretty good too, but
arms race.
I don't feel that was the same caliber as Halo 3's marketing. Was the We Are ODST commercials? They were in the same vein.
No. I'm not talking about the ODST. I'm talking about the arms race and the action shot where they're tracking Master Chief as he's falling.
Oh, yeah. I know. The one where the live-action Bruce.
Those were Peter Jackson.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, those kind of things, I mean... Those were awesome.
They were.
Yeah,
good.
Because you never saw that, but basically the Marines were having to secure the landing zone for Master Chief and re-entering orbit.
You do that for 2 hours, you'll have people's jaws dropping and handing you money. I mean, come on. You want money? There's the money right there.
Well, it's already been proven that. I mean, who did those? Neil Blomkamp, with District 9.
District
9. That was an experiment to see how that the reaction would be to those shorts with him, especially even him and his style, and there was a good reaction to the Halo things, and then now District 9 had a great reaction, in the industry. His style and whatnot, built on those kind of foundations.
I mean, you could.
It's obvious something like that could work. Obviously,
I mean, for the Halo videos, if you were to do the whole Halo story from the games, you could easily do like 5 movies. Off.
Well, yeah, it's
with fill-in story.
The translate and who do you make the focus of the story? Who's going to be the main character? The Master Chief already that we know from the games is. Is not a
right, but with the games, it's a linear. You're focused on one person, and with the movie, you can encompass the whole thing, just like you could with the books.
Right,
and that's why I think the movies would be so successful.
It could be. It really could be. It's got to be done right.
Yes.
It can't be just to be made because it'll make money as far as because it's associated with a franchise.
I mean, it will already make money because of the franchise, but if it's done well, like the action sequences were, oh gosh, it's sold.
That's some fine journalism right here. Oh boy.
What? Oh, this?
I'm gonna make an unfounded claim that everybody hates Halo now. Like,
yeah.
He
Are you
doesn't.
looking at Kotaku, right?
Yeah, I read the article and I.
I'm got me perturbed.
What? Where's this from?
I don't mind him making that comment. I mind him making that comment and not backing it up. He doesn't give any indication of it. He says, looks like somebody didn't get the memo. What memo? What numbers are he looking at? I mean, what poll says that people have, you know, lost interest in Halo? Where are the sales numbers? I mean, what's he talking about? What's this going on?
If you're looking at gameplays, that's not enough.
Is he just making an assumption that people have lost interest?
Well, you want to know something?
Because
I mean,
you can't make an assumption when you're doing
the games. Yeah, the Halo 3 has been. They're mainly talking about Halo 3. People aren't playing Halo 3 anymore. And yes, you have the
4 years after
but,
release.
Okay, if you look at it though, Halo 3 has constantly remained on top. And when the new game comes out, yeah, the game takes over for a little while. But then
it's
another game
3 years
out.
Now.
but then another game comes out. Like right now, we have Battlefield Bad Company 2. That's probably topping the charts right now.
Yeah.
But Halo is still the number two spot.
Yeah.
It's consistently up there. No matter what. I mean, you have your top game, then you have Halo. Halo is everyone's fallback. When
Halo 3 beat out Call of Duty 4 for the year prior to Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, what I'm saying is I'm saying that basing that assumption on Xbox Live numbers as to how many people are still playing the old game is crazy, because people bought Modern Warfare 2 was the best-selling game of all time, the highest grossing, not the best-selling.
Yeah, and Halo 3 is still beating it.
Well, it's still up there.
No, I'm not even saying that. I'm saying that you can't, you know, base fan opinion of a franchise based on what they're doing with the old game, with the past, you know, installment. That's crazy.
Well, I'm just the Halo 3 itself. Forget about. See, this is the thing. I think they're basing this on. Okay, since ODST came out and there wasn't that much of interest in that, and even Halo Wars after Halo 3 came out, there's not that much
Halo
interest
ODST
in that.
Was
so they think it's watered down. And I know, but they think it's watered down. But you got to. Halo Reach is not ODST, and it's not Halo Wars. Halo Reach is a full-blown Halo title with all the things that makes the Halo franchise what it is.
Right.
It's multiplayer. It's the
story.
It's part of the story. Part of the main part of the story. It's a first-person shooter. With everything that made Halo 3 great, with Forge and films and whatever else surprises they may have. Which you know they're going to be more.
I mean, Halo has taken an evolutionary step at each game, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
If you think about it.
This is essentially Halo 4, if you really look at it. This is Halo 4.
I mean, Halo 1 was the story. Setting up the story, it was a fantastic story. It grabbed you in. Halo 2, like Brent said, I think last time we recorded, multiplayer, clan support. Excellent matchmaking system. Halo 3. Yeah, it was a little weak in the campaign area, but you have the matchmaking still going on. You have Forge. You have customizability. ODST, you have Firefight, which everyone probably wanted to just... And it was a big request from a lot of fans. It's just constantly fighting Covenant. Right?
Well, Firefight is actually that's more of an experiment in the ODST, and
it was a success, except for the lag issues that they have.
Well, the lag issues and is you know the matchmaking that you know.
But I mean, if you have a good connection, it's fun to play Firefight.
Oh, I love Firefight.
It's a blast.
Yeah.
And if they can bump that up to 8 players in Reach, that would be awesome, especially with the increased AI that they could manage.
Yeah, they'll do something like that.
I mean, if you have, I mean, a max party in Xbox Live chat is 8. If you could have 8 people going at it, that would be tons of fun. And you could have tournaments based around it.
If you can have it where you can just join in, drop in, drop out.
Well, I think that's what what was it? Active roster is for.
I bet you that could be a part of it. Yes.
It sounds like parts of that are active roster, and this is a little convoluted. And I think this whole hour extra that we've talked about is going to be a little side audio.
Side podcast.
Yeah, side podcast. Well,
whatever you guys want to do, I'm sure you got to do a lot of editing.
Yeah. Well, we'll alert you when they're out, so you can post cool. Whatever. What was I talking about?
Firefight.
We're talking about Burt Reynolds and Smokey and the Bandit. Love that movie.
Some bitch.
What was that thing about eight players?
Now we really forgot.
I was talking about
it's like late.
Something about
multiple. The active roster. If I'm thinking what it could be from the description you gave me, it's almost as if there's a spot in matchmaking, almost kind of like a lot of the other matchmaking does it. If there's a spot in matchmaking where you can jump in, if there's an empty slot.
Right. Queue you up.
Whenever you drop, it kind of sucks whenever you lag out of a game. And it's like, oh, crap. And you were in a party. It's like, okay, can I jump right back in there? Like you could with a custom game. That'd be nice.
I'm not going to say because I don't know for sure, but the way it sounds and the way that they worded it carefully, I think that it's not going to work that way. I think that because the way that they described queuing up is basically you queue up, but then you have to wait until the game ends, at which point you will automatically be placed in their party. The way it is now, at least, is once you're out, you have to wait for their game to end. And then they have to send you an invite, or you have to join their party.
Right, but this
This automatically, once you're queued up, you will automatically be placed in the party. It basically just keeps you from having to go through a menu and hit a button.
Here's my question, though. So you're automatically queued up. So what if? All right. So in the meantime, while I'm waiting for that game to end, I start my own game, say a Lone Wolf's game or whatever. I'm in the middle of that game. So what happens when? Does it wait till my game is over, or does it stop me in the middle of my Lone Wolf's game?
I want to say from something...
Pull me out and throw me in that party. I'm sure it has to wait for your game to end.
I don't know. I think I read this somewhere.
Maybe once you're in a game, you get kicked out of the queue.
Maybe.
I don't know.
That's actually... That sounds.
I guess for like custom games, once the queue opens up, you could. It'll probably actually auto join you, if you're in a custom.
If you're in a custom, maybe. Yeah, maybe there's a setting for that too. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm still hoping for clan support. I really.
I doubt you're gonna see that.
I know. Like clan support for Halo 2 was frowned upon, I think, because they actually used the Xbox Live service in the way it wasn't intended. But if they could host that clan info on their own servers, I think it would actually be really cool.
Here's the thing that people didn't. The reason why clan is probably not going to happen, and they've said it.
But it did it did so well for Halo 2. I don't see why they wouldn't do it.
It did, but I think they associated with the matchmaking, where nobody was really playing in the playlists for clans. So they just thought it, as far as spending time on making something clan-based in there, was just a waste of their time. Numbers-wise, to support it, nobody entered the clan matchmaking, The numbers were very few, that people who did clan matchmaking, because you were clan. So
I didn't know there was clan matchmaking.
There was. Remember, there was only a matchmaking playlist that you can only
enter. Yeah, I remember it.
I wasn't around back then, so.
If you were in a clan, like only clan members could enter.
It didn't last long. Yeah, if I remember that.
Yeah, and they eventually cut it out, and they didn't have it anymore. And you know, you still had the clan list in your in Halo 2, which just became a second friends list. But Bungie just thought the numbers were not there, and that's why it wasn't in Halo 3, and that's why you probably won't see it in Reach either.
It that just doesn't seem like a Bungie thing to do, though, is play by the numbers. Because you got to think that they understand that the numbers don't represent the popularity of something like a clan.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a Bungie thing to do, but they're still under Microsoft Studios' umbrella.
Now you're going into my hate array for...
Well, but it's true, though. I know. But believe me, I'm not happy with it either. But... But it's definitely the way of you got to get used to that. I'm totally not trying not to focus my energies there because it's just you're fighting a big corporation like Microsoft who, I mean, you're under that umbrella, and if Bungie goes to Microsoft and says, hey, we would love for the fans, we would love to take some of our resources and build a clan system into Halo Reach. Can we do it? It'll take us this much of a time, this much money, this and this. Okay, well, that sounds good. But how much return are we going to get in that? How much time is going to be spent in that? And how much through, you know, fans are that? They show them the numbers from things. Microsoft go, you know what? No. Why don't you put that on something else? They're not going to do it. So if it was Bungie by themselves with no other, you know, they're with their sole, you know, studio. Then yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you. I seriously don't think we're going to get clan support in Reach. Like, I really doubt it.
There's not been any clan support in any other multiplayer game that people were waiting for or hoping that Microsoft's going to implement clan support in the Xbox 360.
Yeah. Just the entire live service itself.
But see that.
That's fine with me, for real. I am fine with that.
A clan, well, that's what it should be, because clans.
Yeah, but they've explicitly said. They've explicitly said that they're not going to do that, though.
No, they did too. Yeah, and they said they're not going to do it there either.
I their reasoning is that basically you would be in, you'd have a second friends list. But they don't understand that a clan and a friends list are two completely different things.
Right.
The way they work conceptually, like, I can't choose who is in my clan list. Like, I can choose everybody on my friends list. I have complete control over everybody in my friends list, but I don't have control over who is in my clan list. In a way, that is, you know...
Well, an overlord does. Like,
that's what I'm saying, though, but I don't directly have any influence over...
Right, right.
It's as if you're part of a group that is bigger than yourself. You do not have direct influence over who is in that
group.
That
would be something to ask Steptoe about if we ever got him on the show.
Stephen Toulouse?
Yeah.
Well, look at it this way also, though. But clans have still... They're still surviving out there without those systems. It'd be nice to have those additions.
Well, the systems are nice.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you look at it, that's what started clans.
No,
not really. The clans have been around for a long time, dude.
Yeah, there were
maybe my generation, the clans, because I'm a little late on that.
Before Halo 2, or before there were always tons of clans out there.
Bottom, I mean, that harkens back to the early PC multiplayer days, you know.
Yeah, Counter Strike had like really actually.
Yeah.
But it's you know, the clan system. And, you know, how they got together, you know, was just, you know, it was always there. And it's still surviving now. It's just, you know, I think that, you know, how it teased us in Halo 2, which was, you know, I think that, you know, we got us spoiled again. But I honestly, that's definitely something I am not holding on to. And if it's not there, it's really not a deal breaker. Or nothing. It's...
Oh no, I'm not gonna be like, I'm not buying Reach unless you put clan support in. I'm not gonna boycott the game.
Yeah.
But going back to the article, I I'm fine with articles like this, except I don't understand the point of it. I mean,
for anyone,
developers have been making claims like this for games for years now. I mean,
what are they supposed to be negative about their new
the
game?
The worst is like Peter Molyneux. Like, he acts like every game that he makes is the fucking second Crummy, you know? It's like, I mean, it literally, and what he does is he will shit on his last game. He'll be like, "That was the worst game ever. We made an awful game. My team sucks. But now we're going to do it right this time. This is the greatest game of all time." And then the greatest game of all time, after that one comes out and the new one comes out, and he starts talking about it, "That game was awful. We understand that it was awful. Worst game of all time. This new game is going to revolutionize the way you play video games, the way you think about them. It's going to be amazing." Like, and that's literally, he literally says shit like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, people get onto him for it, but they don't come out with crazy, like, just, it almost seems like that last, the sentence that I posted in the Skype window, the looks like somebody didn't get the memo. That seems like Luke has like a vendetta or something. Like, he's actively angry at Bungie, like he's trying to get back at him for something, and I don't understand the point of the article. Like,
and you know what? All the details have not come out about Reach yet. Like, really, like, you think that the game is not going to do well just because of there was a trend maybe in the last 2 years, or maybe in the last year. I mean, no one knows as much as Bungie does. They're very positive about their game, but of course, and they have to be. But you don't know that much about it. I mean, and how do you know? You don't even know what the contents are of it. You know, maybe they'll have a copy of Halo 3 in the game. You know, I don't know. I'm very. Oh, this really bothers me a lot.
It just seems like
not just because I'm a Halo fan. It's just in gaming in general. I mean, this sounds like somebody who's sick of Halo. Sick of
it. It sounds like he's trying to take Bungie down a notch, is what he's trying to do. He's like trying to kick Bungie down from what he perceives to be their high horse.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's appropriate for someone that writes. I mean, his job is to be a professional game writer. I mean, sometimes it gets kicked around a lot. The game journalist sounds too pretentious. I'm just a game writer. Well, even if you're a game writer, I still expect a certain amount of, you know, ethic, like, responsibility in the way that you handle stuff like this. Right. I don't understand. I'm not saying that Luke Plunkett is an awful journalist here. I just don't understand the point of the article. And I perceive the point of the article to be an attempt to kick Bungie down from their high horse.
Yeah, and I've usually, most of these guys writing Kotaku and all the others, the you know, even, you know, Joystick and everything, I actually think most of these guys, 99% of them, are actually pretty good writers.
Oh, I do too. I like them. I like them opinionated too.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you can't put opinion in your article. I'm saying that if
this
you do
one
get
comes
opinion,
out of left field.
This one just it didn't need to exist in the first place.
Right.
It doesn't really affect the game industry. It was, who was it, Brian Gerard, saying like one thing.
Yes, Brian Gerard.
He literally just, he wrote an entire article on four sentences that Brian Gerard said in like an interview.
Go ahead.
I mean, that doesn't I don't even know. Go ahead.
No, but the article that he's talking about, or he's referring to, is Halo Reach should make a Halo movie more likely. Which, what the fuck is, like, that's the article.
What does that even mean?
Well, it means that
Brian Gerard said that Halo Reach is probably going to make a Halo movie likely. When Halo Reach comes out, it's going to be so popular that they're going to be like, you know what, we're going to make a Halo movie.
Yeah, well, and they're essentially saying that Halo Reach is going to make Halo fucking even more big than it is.
Well,
so,
it should.
So they're disputing, and it should. I think it should too, and I think it will. But
I don't even think it will. I think that Brian Gerard's just speaking out of his goddamn ass, but I'm saying that this article is complete bullshit. It serves no purpose. The only purpose it serves is to kick Bungie you know, down from its throne.
I agree with that.
It seems like a mean-spirited article.
Whether you agree with what Brian Gerard is saying or not, it does not make any, like, he, somebody, like, did, Luke Plunkett read that interview and just said, had wanted to knock him down and just say, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Never mind. yeah, Luke Plunkett, yeah.
This is, yeah, this...
I know I'm coming off as a fanboy here, and I am a fanboy in many
ways.
No. When I see something like this directed at my favorite developer, Bungie is my favorite developer. They're my favorite studio.
Sure.
I get mad when I see a mean-spirited article like this. I mean, normal gamers that have no attachment to a studio, they see it, they're like, whatever, they keep reading, and that's fine.
No, but I'm sure you read some articles, and as a gamer, and also reading Kotaku and all this stuff like that, would actually probably notice. I'm trying to look from the outside looking in too. You know, I would like to look at this article and just say, you know, if you know, as somebody who watches the gaming industry, if somebody came in here and said, like, WoW. Was the next WoW series was going to be bad because really people aren't playing it that much. Like, I know how big fucking WoW is, you know? So,
yep.
And then you come in and say something like this, like you don't think it's going to be big because people are not playing it that much. I don't know. That would seem off to me too. I think in general, like his statements are just really like you too early.
Well, it's just the way it's presented. It's almost like the article is too short. This is like one of those Sunday articles that they put out. You ever read those like long ass Tim Rogers articles that you have to dedicate 5 hours to just to get through? Like, like I would have been fine if he made this statement and then he went down a list of why he thinks this shit's gonna happen. Like he's like, all right, look at this. It's not gonna have the Master Chief. People love Master Chief. And just went like down a list, made this article long, actually thought it through and made meaningful comments. But he makes this short ass article, and this line just pisses me off because it just seems so mean spirited that I've never seen anything like it. It looks like somebody didn't get the memo. I'm like,
it's so snarky.
I'm like, what the hell?
They're saying in the comments too.
Where's
just a lot the of people.
Where's the fucking memo? Like, what is he basing this on? Like that's something I would say to somebody to really piss them off. Like, what do you mean I'm ugly? Looks like somebody didn't get the memo. You know what I'm saying?
It's very snarky, and there's no reason for it. I'm reading reading the original article. I'm trying to see where he might have seen that, like it might have made him snarky, and I don't see anything in the original article that.
Yeah, they
even
really
if
are
even if he's, I mean, you gotta, you know, of course, Brian Gerard's gonna be behind their new game. Of course, they're gonna be excited. Of course, they're gonna back it up. Of course, they're gonna think it's gonna be big. And maybe you know what? Bungie's been right before about this shit. It's not like their reputation. Like they've said it, and it wasn't big. Halo 3 was fucking enormous, and they knew it was going to be. They said it. So why can't they say that about their next game? You know, especially even if it's something that's not the Master Chief. You know, I mean, you could say, oh, it's going to be good because the Master Chief. I think that's irrelevant. But I don't know. This is ridiculous.
This is something I would legitimately like to get, like, Luke Plunkett on the show. And I'm not, you know, bringing him on to harass him. I really want to, like, talk about this. Like, I want to understand what he is. Like, I'm not saying Luke Plunkett's got a grudge against Halo. I'm just saying I get suspicious after reading shit like this because I've seen so many, like, hardcore gamers, they hate Halo because they think that it's, they feel that it's changed the gaming industry for the worse. And it has changed the gaming industry, but they think that it's completely destroyed the way that game design should go about. They hate the way that it's changed the entire industry.
Right.
And they hold a deep grudge for it. So any time that they get the chance to kick Halo, they fucking go for it.
Halo's got a bad reputation, and people will definitely take shots at it.
Well, it's got a good reputation, and that's the problem. People love Halo. So you kick it when it's down, you know, when the king's down on the floor, kick his ass, you know, it's like.
Well, it's actually, well, on top. Well, I'm not saying a bad reputation. I'm saying anybody who's on top who's got a, you know, who are doing great, they're
yeah.
gonna try to kick him down, and you know, Halo's definitely got that reputation.
Yeah, it's got the good reputation.
Yeah,
it's popular, and counterculture insists that anything popular is immediately bad, and you should.
If you ever get his ass on the show, tell me, and I want to come.
I will invite you on because. It's gonna be funny if Kotaku.
I'll tell you. I promise this. Like, you will
listen to this stupid ass Brent gamer guy talk about. He's so inarticulate.
I believe you will see follow ups to this. There will be.
From who? Who's gonna follow up? Oh, from
no.
Luke?
There'll be.
Well, I mean,
another writer at Kotaku. Or at least by, or even by him, just say either not a retraction, but it'll just be like. There'll be more talk about it, or it won't even be on Kotaku. It'll be on like Joystick or another one where they'll talk about what they said and reference it and just say, actually, you're kind of wrong or something. Or it's not over is what I'm saying. It's not over. Like, this is, you can't just come out and say this shit.
I hope you know how Bungie always has the web page descriptor on the top,
yes,
that changes,
yes,
whenever you change. I hope that they put into their brand generator looks like somebody didn't get the memo.
That yes. would be awesome.
That would be sweet.
Oh my God, that would be so awesome.
I'm actually gonna change my gamer tag or my gamer tag motto to that tonight.
Yes.
Looks like somebody didn't get the memo.
Okay, so yeah, or I'm drinking Mountain Dew, bitch, or something.
Actually, I think that might be a little too long for the.
Is it? Maybe. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I might change it to just like somebody didn't get the memo or something, or didn't get the memo. Yeah, whatever works.
Memo.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get the word memo in there somewhere.
Yeah. It's not over. And you know what? I'll talk it on my live show this week too.
Memo not received.
Yeah. I'll actually actively shout his name out.
No, just do what memo?
Yeah, what memo? Exactly.
What memo?
I'm angry.
And then just put the.
And I usually don't get angry, man.
I'm not angry. I'm just. I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed
yeah,
in this
better.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think he's a bad writer. I just think he made a dumb move with this. He made a dumb move in the way he presented it. And I think that he does harbor some small or, you know, completely subconscious grudge against Halo, and he doesn't even know it.
Yeah, he might not even realize what he was writing. Like,
I was under the impression that a lot of game journalists like Bungie, and they just hate Microsoft. Usually the jabs are at Microsoft.
Yeah, this was a jab at Bungie.
This was a direct jab at Brian Gerard and his statement.
I read it again. I'm just
how could we get this guy on the show?
A Kotaku writer.
I mean, would he even
That's
would he even
pretty
spare
hard
the?
To do.
Yeah.
I don't know if those guys even.
Yeah, I don't think they take the. They don't have the time of day for us.
Well, to do interviews, I mean, they're usually interviewing people, you know.
Right. They.
But I mean, you have to do the flip side sometime. I mean, just like you came on our podcast tonight, you have to kind of do the flip side every now and then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
But it's kind of a risk versus
reward. It's a two-way street, not a one-way street.
I mean, if Kotaku goes on our podcast, it's not like they're going to get thousands upon thousands of new readers, you know? That's the issue.
True, yeah. Yeah, it's not...
I mean, maybe the Running Riot. Maybe
it
they
might,
will
it
go
might be
the
more
Running
beneficial
Riot.
For us.
with the Running Riot's track record of just, you know, great guest hosts, I think that they would be more inclined to go on the Running Riot. And I'd love to listen to that. That's fine with me. I don't even... If he doesn't want to come on Podtacular and he'd rather go on the Running Riot, that's fine with me.
Well, I know something. I
as
mean,
long as he just talk, as long as I hear this guy talk about it, that is fine with me.
I mean, usually the guests I have on the show are usually people I like, and I talk about, you know, I want to, like, learn more about or something.
Right. Well, I want to learn more about this guy and what the fuck he was talking about.
I mean, if I get this guy on my show, I'll be like, oh, Howard Stern on his ass. I'm fucking...
So, what's your fucking problem, Luke? That's going to be my first question.
Yeah, I'd tear into him. I really would tear into him. And I wouldn't hold back.
How bad do you suck?
What were you fucking thinking? You have some, like, you were sitting on a fucking toilet and the toilet paper was fucking scratching your ass that you got so...
At least I don't have to bleep this stuff out.
I might have dropped some F-bombs. Did I drop some
F-bombs? Everyone's dropped something so far. I'm not even going to worry about this. I'm just gonna say...
Oh, but even during the regular show before, did I...
I mark them down whenever people say them.
How long does it take you to edit all this stuff?
Typically about 2 or 3 hours total.
Oh, okay. We did a lot of stuff. So I'm sure you're going to have to take out...
Me.
Just segments... Of us, you know, because you can't have the podcast.
I usually don't just. I usually don't just because. Of
we've got like 3 hours. Takes... 3 or 4 hours? No.
Well, that's 3 or 4 hours without clipping. I mean, the extra clipping would probably take 30 minutes to an extra hour.
How long has you guys shows lately? Hold on, I can check.
It's been about an hour and a half.
They've been pretty moderate.
Yeah, hour and a half.
They have been crazy. Crazy long.
Trying to,
it's an hour and a half, hour 47 on this one, 49.
Trying to bring them down.
I think the longest podcast I ever listened to was like 4 hours.
4 hours, yeah, and that was our 200th episode, I think.
Wow.
Down there.
Nice.
So the one that we had tonight is definitely topping the charts.
Yeah, this is a chart topper right here.
I guess that's a good thing.
Maybe. People are going to be hitting fast forward on their MP3 players.
Well, this will actually be a separate clip from the podcast. So
yeah, that's going to help too. This isn't going to need like an explicit tag. You should just keep this uncensored. Yeah. Give it an explicit tag.
It's not even going to the iTunes feed. It's.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it there. I would put it as like a secret where like Kotaku can't get it and then make fun of me on their blog.
Yeah, right.
That would suck, dude. Listen to this brick gamer idiot ramble on for an hour and 30 minutes. He sounds like a complete retard. And I do actually sound like a retard. Like when I go to articulate my thoughts, I end up rambling and I just sound stupid.
I have the same way.
Like send this over to Louis Wu over at HBO.
I think you should send the article over there. But usually, he's dealt with snarky stuff before though, and he usually
and
doesn't.
I bet. Well. He might not even react to this, but this one, I'm telling you, it's not over with this one. This is really fucked up. This one is really a direct attack.
You think?
Yeah, this is direct. This is really, really like, I don't know. I've just never seen anybody come out at Bungie like this. Bungie is a well-respected, even by the press, definitely very respected by the press. This is. I've never seen this kind of negative stuff towards them. Never. Not that I mean. I can't remember if I have. I mean, this is terrible.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, anything else we want to talk about before we close out for the night? It's already 1:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
This is where the magic happens.
Yeah.
This is the magic hour.
Oh jeez.
I don't know.
I'm out. I'm definitely got nothing left to talk
this
about.
This article is drained our souls.
Yes, it did. This article actually just
yeah. Okay, so that was the excerpt that we had from episode 220 of Podtaggler with Keith from The Running Right. Hope you guys enjoyed the discussion that we had. And if you have any comments, feel free to go to podtaggler.com and comment with the post that accompanies this attachment. And thanks for listening.